Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
Hello and welcome to the program for April 16th, 2024, which in the Hebrew calendar is the 8th of the month of Nisan 5784. I am Walter Bingham and really glad that summer is on its way. It is, however, difficult to be upbeat while our soldiers are fighting a war for the past 6 months and our abductees are not yet free. Whilst it is impossible for me to imagine myself in the shoes of a parent or child or a sibling of a hostage and the pain that they have endured for many months, I allow myself to make some comments. In order to ensure that the plight of the hostages is not forgotten, it is certainly acceptable to hold regular peaceful demonstrations. Unfortunately, the grief of the hostage families is being cruelly and ruthlessly exploited by anarchists and other extremist elements who act as agents provocateurs to disrupt the daily life of law-abiding citizens in the course of promoting their warped agendas that are counterproductive to the cause that they profess to support. I cannot believe that a family that wants to draw attention to their sorrow will do it by burning tires and blocking the country's main arteries for hours. And as I've said many times before, the government is as keen as every Israeli citizen to bring an end to the hostage situation and to bring the abductees safely back to their families. They would, however, fail in their duty were they to give in to the outrageous demands of Hamas, who want the release from Israeli prisons of all terrorist murderers and the total withdrawal of our troops from the Gaza Strip. I fully understand that after 6 months of worry for the safety of their abducted family members who are still in terrorist hands, it becomes extremely difficult to be thinking rationally. To spell out for them the consequences of a deal at any cost, it's only necessary to refer to the arrangement of the release of Gilad Shalit in 2011, when the then government under Prime Minister Netanyahu capitulated to the pressure of the demonstrations and exchanged 1,027 terrorists for one Israeli soldier. The crop of terrorists captured during the current war following the massacre of October the 7th included many who've already served prison sentences in Israel and were prematurely released or who were exchanged for Shalit. We cannot afford to make such a costly mistake once again. Israel must stand firm with Netanyahu and eliminate the remainder of Hamas by entering Rafah and capturing the terrorist leadership, who must stand trial before the world and receive their due punishment. The death sentence, which is already on our statute books, should also be applied to terrorist murderers of Jews. As to Biden's pressure for an indeterminate ceasefire, it is inconceivable that any American administration would order a halt to their pursuit of a terrorist group after having caught some of them, knowing full well that others, including their leader, are still at large. So, President Biden, do not dictate to us actions that you yourself would not do. About your concern for the civilians in Gaza, just look at U.S. actions in Afghanistan. In 2017, the United States military relaxed its rules of engagement for airstrikes in Afghanistan, which resulted in a massive increase in civilian casualties. I'm sure that there were many terrorists among the so-called civilians, but the same is the case in Gaza. If Israel were to submit to the unreasonable and, I believe, inaccurately informed international pressure and would not destroy the rest of Hamas, its affiliates and their infrastructure, we would be in a worse situation in perhaps another 3 years or so. Here is what Prime Minister Netanyahu said earlier this week. I've made it clear to the international community that there will be no ceasefire without the return of the hostages. It simply will not happen. This is the policy of the government of Israel, and I welcome the fact that the Biden administration made it clear last Friday that this is its position as well. I would like to clarify something else, said the Prime Minister. It's not Israel that is preventing a deal. Hamas prevents a deal. Its extreme demands are designed to bring about a ceasefire and leave it intact to ensure its survival, existence, and ability to endanger our citizens and soldiers again. Capitulation to Hamas's demands would allow it to try and repeat the crimes of October 7th again and again, as they have promised to do. Hamas hopes that external and internal pressure will cause Israel to capitulate to their extreme demands. But it will not happen. Israel is prepared for a deal, but Israel is not prepared to surrender. Instead of the international pressure being directed at Israel, which is only causing Hamas to harden its position, the pressure needs to be directed at Hamas, which would advance the release of the hostages, said Prime Minister Netanyahu. And that brings me to the question, what came first, terrorism or occupation? In Arab circles, that question is taboo. Representatives from the Palestinian Authority, the PA, and the Arab press generally base any comments or discussions on the false premise that the State of Israel has no right to exist in the Middle East, that it's present in the area is a result of the Holocaust, and that Jews have no historic claim on this land. They are occupiers, and the violence will cease only when the occupation is ended. So, let us look at the more recent history. This holy land was ruled by the Ottoman Turks for 402 years. It was in 1916, during World War I, when the question arose among the Triple Entente, that's Russia, Britain and France, what would happen to the Ottoman territories if the war led to the disintegration of the sick man of Europe, the Ottoman Empire? As a result, the British and French entered into a private agreement which was to determine the post-war partition of some Middle East lands. Named after its negotiators Mark Sykes of Britain and Georges Picot of France, the Sykes-Picot Agreement effectively divided the Ottoman provinces outside the Arabian Peninsula into areas of British and French control and influence. The war ended in 1918 and led to the formation of the League of Nations in January 1919, whose purpose was to prevent future wars in Europe. They assigned mandates to govern the ex-Ottoman areas in the Middle East and ratified the Sykes-Picot Agreement with alterations, giving the French Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, and to the British the mandate over Palestine, the areas between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, and later adding Transjordan. The objective of the mandates to govern former territories of the Ottoman Empire was to provide administrative advice and assistance to those territories until such time that they are able to stand alone. In Palestine, The mandate required Britain to put into effect the Balfour Declaration, which stipulated to facilitate a national home for the Jewish people alongside the Arabs who live in the land. That brings us back to the question with which we started. Our closest Arab neighbors, who share the land of Israel with us, stated that the violence will cease only when the occupation is ended. Despite this claim, it should be recalled that the extremist Palestinian rejectionist factions repeatedly declared that even if Israel would fully withdraw from Gaza and the West Bank, they will continue the attacks because they refute Israel's basic right to exist. It was in August 2005 that the Israeli government under Prime Minister Ariel Sharon ordered the complete evacuation of all Jewish settlements from the Gaza Strip. Even our dead were exhumed and taken to the mainland. All the infrastructure and agricultural installations were handed over to the PA, the Palestinian Authority, in perfect order. It was their golden opportunity to establish a viable Palestinian entity. The international community applauded the move and pledged to support the fledgling entity. A general election 2 years later in 2017 dismissed the corrupt PA and in its place brought the extremist Hamas to power. Millions of dollars of aid money kept flowing into the strip, which Hamas diverted to build up a military infrastructure while the population was deprived of the benefit, unless they became Hamas members. The result was October 7th, 2023. Until that date, the UN and the EU and the rest of the world chose to ignore the Hamas activities, despite Israel's repeated warnings. More importantly, the basic premise of the Palestinian claim that the occupation causes terrorism is historically flawed. Arab terrorism was rampant
during the wave of anti-Jewish riots in 1920-21, characterized by the brutal murder in Jaffa of the prominent Jewish author Y. Brenner. During the disturbances in 1929, which included the massacre of the Jewish community of Hebron, during the Arab Revolt of 1936-1939, and in many other recorded incidents of wholesale anti-Jewish Arab violence throughout the pre-state period. On the eve of the UN partition resolution in November 1947, the terrorism campaign was stepped up and led to the joint Arab invasion of Israel in 1948-49, which delineated the boundaries of the newly established State of Israel. After the War of Independence, Arab terrorism expanded in strength, so that in 1952 there were about 3,000 incidents of cross-border violence, ranging from destruction of property to the brutal murder of civilians. I have a list of 60 documented Arab terrorism incidents, all occurring prior to the beginning of Israeli administration of the West Bank and Gaza in 1967. Therefore, the oft-repeated Arab claim that the Israeli occupation is the cause for the Palestinian terrorism is nothing more than an empty retort repudiated by the facts and disproved by more than a century of historical reality. Please note that when I use the commonly known term West Bank, I'm referring, of course, to the Jewish heartland of Judea and Samaria. And the term Palestinian is merely descriptive of Arabs living in the land and has no political significance. That's it for today. God willing, I'll be back after Passover with more news, views, and interviews from Israel and the rest of the Jewish world. Until then, this is Walter Bingham wishing all my Jewish listeners a kosher and meaningful Pesach. In the Haggadah, the story of the exit of the Jews from slavery in Egypt that we read during the festival, we are reminded that we should feel as if we ourselves were part of the Exodus. So speaking personally, I have no difficulty because I too was fortunate to leave the slavery of Nazi Germany. Now I pray that there shall be peace in the Holy Land. Also remember that Pesach is the time when families get together and that many of our elderly will spend this time by themselves, and that loneliness leads to despair, and despair and loneliness are a killer. So if possible, please invite an elderly neighbor, who might even be a Holocaust survivor, to your Seder table. Thank you. Goodbye.
Shalom, this is Nadia Matar from the Sovereignty Movement. At a time when there is so much disinformation, you have to know who to listen to know what really is going on in Israel. Israel News Talk Radio is the radio where you can know that what you hear is the truth.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.